turn with me to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I'm not going to read it all, but I'll just ask you that you will mark it down and read it later. If you've got a pen or a bookmark or a piece of paper, a piece of Kleenex, something, put it in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. And when you really need to be reminded about how great God is, come back and read this in your coming week. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, I'm looking for something I want to read in the Word of God this week. Well, what better to read than what the preacher brings out and speaks to you? So go ahead and mark it in your Bible tonight. We're going to start reading just a few verses. In verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And as it goes on and it reads, "The one that had 5 took his 5 and produced 5 more. And the one that had 2 took his 2 and produced 2 more. And the one that only had 1 within him buried it in the ground and hid it until the coming back of his master." And as we read, the master was pleased with the one that doubled the 5. The master was pleased with the one that doubled the 2. And he was not very happy with the one that buried his 1 into the ground. But what I want to bring out to you tonight is in Matthew 25 and verse 15. In about midway through this, it says, "To every man according to his several ability." Let me read it once more. "To every man according to his several ability." The thought that God gave me to share with you is that there are many of us that are always looking for what we need to be doing in the house of God. And sometimes we may get mixed up because we're wondering if we're doing too much or too little, not enough, or feel like sometimes we may go overboard at other moments where we wonder if we're even doing what we're supposed to be doing, if there's more to be done, or if we're not doing enough. How many of you have ever been there in your walk with God? It's all right. You can be honest tonight. There's been plenty of times where I thought that I could just get away with just singing or get away with just sitting back and playing the instruments. But there was a part of me that felt convicted that there was more to be done. And tonight, if I could share a thought with you, it'd be simply this. Whatever God has given you, it is His will for you to use all of it and not to withhold anything from the great kingdom of God. The best way that I can put this into illustration is that we can try to go and do a job that we were not skilled at to do. So if I tried to go and build a car from the bare bones, I can guarantee you that car, Brent, would never run. No matter which way I try to put it together, no matter how many ways that I try to do it, even if I followed an instruction manual, it is not within me to have the talent to put together a car. Such is the same way that God puts the gifts and talents in our lives. The things that God puts within you are, when you do them, will feel natural into your spirit. The things that you offer up before God and that you feel His Spirit in are the very things that He has called you to do. Many of us may feel like that the one thing that God has given us isn't very much or not enough or not good enough. But God sent this tonight for whomever this is for to remind you that it may just be the one thing that God has given you to do. But the only thing that God requires is that you do the one thing He's given you with all diligence and to not withhold it from Him. There was many times, Brother Austin, that I thought that I could just get away with singing, and many times that I felt the burning word of God in my spirit and I withheld that from God, and there were many weeks that I suffered because I did not give what God had placed inside of me. I can't tell you enough how important it is to use what God has given you, because so often we live in a society that's always wanting more. We always want the next thing. We always need the next blessing. Yet we will not use what God has placed inside of us. I'm telling you this tonight. If every person that was in here used exactly what God had placed in them, then we would have everything that we would need to be an effective church. Can I get an amen tonight? If everybody that had a song came in and was ready to sing whenever the opportunity arose, we would never be looking at each other wondering where the next song would be. And if everybody that had the Word of God burning inside of their heart would come forward and preach the Word, we would never have to worry about scheduling a single person. And if everybody that ever had anything to give God fervently through the offering plate would just give it as God would lead them, we'd never have to worry about making sure the light bill was paid. If we would move as an effective church and use the gifts that God has given us, let me tell you this, we would never have to worry about people being able to be saved. We wouldn't have to worry about people being able to be delivered. We wouldn't have to worry about if we had the right amount of people in there just to have somebody pray through, but we would be an effective church. You see, the one thing that displeases God in the midst of all of this is when we take the great thing that He's given us and we withhold the great thing from somebody else. You see, God did not put a great thing in you for it just to be for you. It is for the edification of the body of Christ. God did not give me the ability to preach just to preach to my wife after dinner. He gave me this so that I'm able to relay the message of God, that it be of strength to you. God did not put a song in you for you just to think that nobody cares about your song. He put it in you so that when you sing, somebody's life is touched. I don't want to be the guy that's withholding from God. I've spent too many church services being that guy. Have you ever had to confess and say that you've let somebody else be left behind because you withheld what God laid on your heart to do? I'll testify about this. There's been some services where we had already sang the songs, preached the messages, shook hands, took up the offering, already had our closing remarks, altar call, and be just a few left. And I would see somebody say, we just need to pray for them before they go. And to me, my flesh would think, man, it's too late. Church has already broke up and left for the evening. How can we continue this way? But God has shown me something so great, is that whether you have one or two or five, that if you would just be willing to use it, that God will bless you in what you work. There are so many workers in here tonight. We don't even have enough time in one day to allow the experience to enjoy everybody that's in here. Don't withhold it from God. There's many times that we feel like we're making a difference by doing nothing. But that is the way that the enemy is letting the lost walk out the door without a hope. There is a voice within you that will speak to you, that will tell you that brother or sister needs prayer. You just need to stand up and testify, or you need to put that extra 20 bucks into the plate. Sometimes we overcomplicate what God is trying to do. The flow of the Spirit is solely based on your willingness to work the gifts that God has put in you. Consider with me the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't have very much. She had spent everything that she had ever owned in order for a cure. But the one thing that she still had within her was the willingness to go after what she thought would help her. There was a willingness within her to say that if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I know that I would be made whole. She didn't have to have a great lot to use what God had given her to do. All she had to do was listen to what God was putting through her and to say, you know what? I'm faithful to believe that if I press forward, I will reach Jesus. Consider with me tonight blind Bartimaeus, when he was laying at the side of the road, yet he did not have his vision, but there was something within him that caused him to lift up his voice, to believe that if he shouted loud enough, that Jesus would come to him and give him help. Church, if we would only realize, if we would use the one thing that God has given us, whether we feel hindered or not, then we would be able to reach Jesus. I don't come in here tonight to dilly-dally. This is a serious matter in the eyes of God. We must learn to use what God has given us to do, for we have more than enough to be able to have a church that's on fire. Don't blame the preacher because you will not use what he's put within you. You have something great within you. And as a leader tonight, I am commanding tonight the enemy to flee from this place, and that we realize just how great a gift that God has put within us. By the blood of the Lamb, you have been made worthy to use
use the gifts that God has given you. And by that same salvation, you have the boldness and ability to shake up the throne room of grace. There are lost people that need to hear your song. There are lost people that need to see you run. There are lost people that need to hear you shout. There are people bound by drugs that need you to preach to them the truth. If we would only learn to use what God has given us, we would see the impact be made on their lives in such a way that they could not turn back away from the truth that they had known. You see, by your obedience, they get to know God through exactly what you do. I remember the first time that God ever put it on my heart to shout, and it felt so heavy on me, like I just couldn't get it out of me. I didn't feel like it was for me. I'd heard people shout all my life, and I thought, man, that's not for me. I don't think I can do this. I don't think that I can celebrate this way. God, I've been so far away from you. How could I ever shout? But then I realized, if I would just yield to the Spirit, hear me tonight, if I would just yield to the Spirit and do what God had laid on my heart, no matter how silly it is, if you go to a church that's too reserved to shout, honey, find you somewhere where you can be free. I remember the first time I lifted up my voice, there wasn't a demon in hell that could have hindered what God was trying to do. When I remember when God gave me my first song, that song went, I'm trying to travel the path that is straight, and each day brings me closer to that beautiful gate, where I'll lay down my burdens, receive a bright crown, forever to live in that heavenly home. Oh, I've got a longing, I'm homesick to go to a land without heartache, no sorrow. There's bound to be trouble in this world below, 'cause I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go. And I remember the first time I sang that song, Brent, and it just absolutely transformed my life. My eyes were open. I began to have a desire to want to sing more. God had doubled the offering that I had poured out into Him. I began to just testify, and then all of a sudden I would feel a burning for more. And hallelujah, the church I'd went to all my life began to see a change in me. They began to be afraid of that which was rising up in me, because sometimes the Spirit of God will go against tradition. It'll go against what you have set up as man, and it'll cause life to come forth where everybody had already wrote it off. And I remember the first time I preached, it felt like a jumbled mess, but since then God has saved many souls. God has delivered many out of bondage. God has healed so many. I have got to preach in the greatest of times and worst of times, but through thick and thin, God doubled exactly what I went after. I can't be the guy that owns the one, because I already know that I'm the guy that owns the five. I know that there is so much for me to do in this life that I don't have time to worry about what people think and to bury my talent in the ground in fear over what people would say about me. Because you see, I'm just going to go ahead and be honest with you. Some of you will probably forget of my existence by tomorrow. But let me tell you, God does not forget about who you are in Him. And you might have a great gift that nobody thinks is talented, and you might have a wonderful spirit that nobody recognizes, but God does. And the moment that you will step up and be used of Him, no matter how many people give you an amen or a hand clap or a shout or a standing up or a pat on the back, you will see your works begin to walk into blessings. There are prophets of God in here tonight. If you will just use the gifts that God has given you, you will see things begin to turn around. Don't bury your gift in fear, but serve Him diligently. You see, the commandment was never spoken for them to go and double what they had received. But there was a part of them, when they received something not of their own and from the Master, they wanted to be found pleasing upon His return. They had no idea that just by making five more than five, that they would have been pleasing. All they knew to do was to get in there and do the work. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt this before, but maybe you've been in a night
where you were obeying the Lord and you turned around and everybody that was around you, let's just put it like this, wasn't with you. No fault of their own. They just weren't with you. Let's just leave it at that. Maybe you've obeyed God before and then you just felt like taking, may I use this, just taking what God had put in you and just putting it to the side and saying, you know what? If nobody wants it, then I'll just keep it. But let me tell you, as a preacher, from personal experience, Doris, every time I tried to tell somebody, you just go ahead and preach, when God gave it to me to work that night, that word ended up burning me up by myself. And I would have to go all week long hearing that word burning my heart. And the next time you try to preach it, it is of none effect because it was what God sent for the moment. And God will give you a song sometimes and you may feel like, oh, maybe next time. And you'll get in there and sing it. Come on, somebody bear witness tonight. You'll go to sing that song that you should have sang last week and it is of none effect because it was seasoned for that night. It's the same thing in prophecy. A word of prophecy is so right now that if you wait and not call somebody for a week, you've already missed when that spirit was ready to receive it. Preachers in here tonight, the word that God has given you, you cannot wait on a line and a queue to be able to get up and preach. When God puts it on your heart, and if He has anointed you to do it, the floor will be open for you to preach. When I was young in the Lord and first starting out preaching, I used to wait for appointments or wait for somebody to grab me by the hand and pull me up there to preach. And then I found out, hey, they're not always going to do that. And sometimes I felt so neglected and thought, well, they don't even want to hear what I've got to say, so why do I even bother showing up? But let me tell you, every time that God ever opened the door, it was for me to use. So when you don't use the opportunities that God has given you, why would you expect to have that same moment of grace, to have that same time where you're just going to say no? Because God's looking for somebody that will be willing to step up to the plate and to serve Him. He's looking for somebody in here tonight that will be willing to say that if nobody else is going to sing, even if I have to get up from my pew and sing a song, there will be a song in the house of God. There is ministers in here tonight that should be burning with the desire to preach. Where is the gifts that God is working in you? Are they buried out of fear? Are they put aside from hurt? Have you let them go for a season because you're waiting on that next move? Let me tell you tonight, the best thing that I can advise you to do, whether you feel good, whether you feel bad, whether you possess a lot in money or whether you don't have very much, whether you have a lot of friends or not have very many friends, the one thing that will not change is the spirit that bears witness inside of you. The spirit that bears witness inside of you will let you have church in your bathroom. It'll let you have church on a bus going to school. It'll let you have church in the middle of your workplace. It'll let you have church 10 minutes till midnight when everybody else has went home. It'll let you have church at Walmart. It'll let you have church around your family. It'll cause you to pray so that your children will hear the voice of God that lives in you. What I wouldn't give for a church that would be willing to work. I don't have to have the greatest sounding singers to make a difference. All I've got to have tonight is people that are willing to do the work. Hallelujah. God didn't call us to be great performers. He didn't call us to be great speakers. He didn't call us to be great greeters, but He called us to work in love through the gifts He's given us to be effective unto the body of Christ and to go out and be effective to the lost. I can't get that out enough. I can't get that out enough. I don't care if you get down to 10 people in here, and I don't care if you get to a church where there's 10 people and no preacher. It doesn't matter if you're at home bedridden and sick without anybody to show up. There is something good within you that is more than enough to touch the throne room of God. There is a burning fire
of the Holy Ghost that if you will stir it up, will stir you in the hardest of times. I could not preach tonight, Sister Jamie, had I not already been stirred by the Holy Ghost. For if man was I preaching to, I would have surely failed. But I'm preaching to your spirit, man and woman, and saying, where is the gifts and the callings that God has given? Do you have a song in the house of God? Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to say glory to God? Can I get somebody to say glory to God? Can I get somebody to say glory to God? You see, you are a mouthpiece for Him. You are set aside from this world so that somebody can see life deep down inside you. You are set aside, not alone, but with the gifts and callings of God. Don't start asking, preacher, what it is I am to do. If you pray, you will know. If you pray, you will know. When you pray, you will know. I'm speaking to somebody in the Holy Ghost. When you pray, you will know. When you pray, you will know. You won't have to wonder, but you'll do it.
Whatsoever, we preached this 2 sermons back. I know it's been a while, but whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe it in your heart, and you shall have it. And Friday night we were preaching about Joseph in the coat of favor. And I've been trying to keep everything connected so that we can move forward. And let me just summarize all this that God has been just stirring up in this big old pot of stew for me. He's showing me that if I would receive what I am in need of in my spirit man first and stop expecting it in my flesh, to walk in His favor, to let Him lead me in His favor, and to not be afraid, to already walk into a room like I've got the job, to already walk into the room like I'm getting the raise, to already walk into Burger King like they're going to give me a free meal. Hallelujah, I'm going to have it my way. I don't know about you. I'm going to walk into places and churches where God's going to already give me favor. I don't have to sing the best. I don't have to preach the best. Honey, I'm not a great singer. I'm just a willing singer ready to do it. There is a difference in performing and working. Performing is trying to achieve a goal of some kind in the flesh. But if you will work for God, it's not going to sound pretty. You may even have a great big sweat all over your face. Your hair might be upside down and turned over to the left. You might have your makeup ran down where you look like something happened to you. I don't know. But you may look like a mess. Your shirt may come untucked on the side. Somebody may have to stand behind you just to keep you from falling completely over. I don't know what it is that it's going to be for you. You might be somewhere and God puts tears in your eyes so that somebody else will see that you feel their pain. It might be your hand that reaches out to somebody and say, let's pray tonight. It might be your voice that breaks out in a song even when you don't know the key and you don't know all the words, and it'll cause you to be obedient. Every time that I ever preach, the first thing that I ever do is just let the Spirit take control. Then at that point, I don't have to worry about a thing. Honey, I know that we want to know all the words and we want to hit all the notes perfectly, but God has sent a word for you tonight just to be willing to work and make sure your priority is to dwell in the anointing and not in the perfection of the artistic part of music. We're praying for workers to enter into the church, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but you realize that we have so much that we could be doing, yet we're looking for other things to happen. We're looking for a generation of people that's going to come in and just shout the house down. But don't you know that God's given you a praise? When we were singing tonight, my soul was so stirred to hear the people come as one voice. That's what it's all about. When we put our agendas aside and we put our problems aside and we let God take control, there is nothing that's impossible. So as we continue on, let me finish this. Then as Joseph was walking in favor, then I wanted to bring this out. There has to be a part of you that will use the good things that God has given you. Sometimes it's just going to be a testimony. Sometimes the only thing that you'll find that is good is the things God has already done. And it's easy from the outside looking in for somebody to tell you, oh honey, hang on, it'll be okay. And you're thinking all the while, yeah, right, you don't get it. You don't understand. They're just trying to get a quick pat on the back so they can go on and do what they need to do. Sometimes you'll be so scorned with your troubles that somebody's compassion will almost seem like it's aggravating you. Have you been there? Surely I'm not the only one. I've learned, Doris, that God is not finished with anybody. When your work is done, He will call you out. So if you're sitting around just waiting on God to take you home, I'm here to inform you there is still work to be done. Some of the greatest blessings I've ever felt were from people that had to come in on walkers. Come on now. Some of the greatest blessings I've ever seen came from a child about this big singing a song. Because it's such a humble heart when a child sings. Some of the greatest blessings I've had was from preachers that didn't have the three-piece suit on. And in fact, there's been some services I've been to where maybe everybody couldn't even afford to take a shower. But I want to tell you this, that it's not contingent on what you wear and what building you go into and who's around you. The one thing that lives in you is exactly what you need to do the work that God has given you. I know that we came over here Saturday, and God bless you, Jack, for coming and helping mow with the church. And I was remembering, I was weed eating out there, and I'm thinking, God, nobody might see me weed whacking the weeds, but I know a blessing is in store for the efforts that I give to you. It was hot out there, but I didn't care, because there are works that God has given every man and woman in this place to do. And I don't care how much the devil has tried to have you bury it. I've got my shovel out tonight, and we're overturning this thing, and we're saying to these gifts, come alive in the name of Jesus. We're saying to these callings, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Somebody help me tonight. Come alive in the name of Jesus. There's so many people in here that have so much greater potential. That's why He said faith was as a grain of mustard seed. No matter how small the hope, there's always potential to grow. There is more for you to do. And you may feel small when you have one, but I'd rather have one and use it than to have one and lose it. I'd rather have one and use it than to have one and lose it. I'm here tonight because I'm working what God has given. If you come to please people, you're here for the wrong reasons. If you came to please people, you're here for the wrong reasons. He gave that to them, and it was their instinct to go and double what they had so that their master would be pleased. There are only two masters that we can serve. That is God and Christ and the Holy Ghost as one, or we can serve the enemy as Satan. There are only two masters we can serve. Do we agree on this tonight? There are only two masters we can serve. When we are not serving God with our gifts and callings, when we bury it into the ground, don't you see the ground in that passage significant as to flesh? When you bury that within you, you are serving the wrong master. There will be no glory given from your life. It will be something that nobody can see. Jesus brought it out like this, to let your light so shine before men, not hide it behind a bushel, to let people see the great thing that's in you. I would rather have two and use it. There might be some two guys and two gals in here. He's given you a couple good things to do. Do not discount the couple things God has given you because you see somebody working in more. Because let me tell you, you might think that you want the more, but until you walk in the shoes of somebody that walks in leadership, and until you walk in the shoes of somebody that bears the burdens of others, you may just be satisfied carrying the two. And sometimes people just want to come in and exist, but that's not even with one gift. To exist is just to be there. But God has given us all something to do. He said, let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. So at a minimum, in the fivefold ministry, even if you're not called to do any of those specific things, you still have the gift of praise. You still have the ability to pray. And you have the ability by the Holy Ghost to grow into greater things. But I would rather use what God has given me than covet after something else that I can't handle. So you know what I've learned to do? I'm not trying to sing and sound like those people on the radio. I'm not trying to practice a song 100 times a week to make sure that I do it better than anybody. I just come in and let God have His way. I don't try to preach like T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, try to come in and preach a message that is not mine. All that I can do is work what God has given me. I don't know if I'm a one guy, a two guy, or a five guy. But all that I know is I've learned this. I'm not going to fight after what is yours. I'm not going to cut down what is yours. I'm going to support you in every part of what you do. It is our solemn duty and responsibility as the body of Christ to support each other in what we do, to love each other in hardships so that the works do not stop. For just to be faithful without what it is God has given us to work is dead. That's why it says faith without works is dead. It is none effect just to be faithful. God called us to be a people of action. The people that walked around Jericho 7 times on the final day, as though that was ridiculous enough, and then blew the trumpet, was not a people that questioned or coveted after somebody else, but they were willing just to do what God had laid on their heart. That was to walk and to blow. To walk and to blow the trumpet. Some of us already know good and well what it is we are to do. So you don't have to struggle for new things. Just use the good things God has put in you. Use the things that God has given you. And as you perfect those works, by the Spirit, even greater will come.